Buy a bag of Hill's Pet Nutrition, help feed a shelter pet. Buy another bag of Hill's Pet Nutrition, help feed more shelter pets. Buy Hill's, help feed shelter pets. Buy Hill's, help feed shelter pets. Every time you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet in need, helping them become healthy, happy, and more adoptable. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/radio or tap the banner to learn more.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this sixth day of May 2024. And tonight, he's turning the dials. He's pushing the buttons. You can always count on him. In fact, that's what they say. Count on Kenny. Hey, Kenny.
How you doing, Pastor?
All right, there you go. He's our producer tonight. And then way out yonder, we have the legend. The legend's out there. He's been around for a long time. And that
is... your God-fearing, Bible-believing patriot co-host is here, ready to go to work.
All right. And in the studio is my bodyguard and
armed and ready.
Armed and ready. He's ready to, he'll throw himself in front of me to save me, right?
Call me bullet catcher.
All right, there you go. Anyhow, and that is Aaron Ganias.
Hello, Pastor.
All righty, we're ready to roll tonight.
Hello, Aaron.
Hello, Joe.
And, I've got some... Well, bittersweet news.
Bittersweet, yeah.
Because my dear friend for probably 40 years, Danny Ray, has gone home to be the Lord. Over the weekend, Danny graduated. And I know he's looking forward to go home to be with the Lord. He loves the Lord. Danny was quite an artist. He made over... about 300 songs he's recorded, and you hear many of those played on this radio program over the years. And, well, his service is going to be held on May 9th, this Thursday, I believe. And that's going to be from 4 to 8 p.m. At the Creatius Funeral Home at 14925 East Bagley Road in Middleburg Heights. He loved Joyce, his wife, and his children. Danny was, he was just one of the good-hearted men. You know, he came out for years and years. He would come out for our fundraisers, and he would never take any money. He would always volunteer his time, and he would come out. No matter how many times we had it, he would be out there. And he loved to come on the radio program. He and I did a number of songs together. And we were planning on doing another, some more, but it looks like the Lord decided otherwise.
He's going to sing in a bigger, larger, better choir.
That's right. And so our most sincere condolences go out to his family, Joyce, and so many people out there are going to miss Danny. I knew his brother Freddie, who died about a year or so ago, who went home to be with the Lord. Those two, they sang together on several CDs too. So this is going to be in memory of Danny Ray this week. We're going to play just his songs this week.
Sure, and so, kind of one of the, when you said bittersweet, it's like heaven's gain and our loss.
Absolutely right. It is, but it's, you know, that Danny was not in the best of health. And Joe, he was getting old like some people we know, okay?
I know a couple like that, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, he has no more aches, he has no more pains, none of that. I can tell you, his mind's not on what's going on down here. He's seeing things that he's been wanting to see his whole life, and he's made it home with his Lord. And my guess, the first thing after talking to him, he was looking to see his mother again. You know, he's looking, just like we all have people we want to see when we get there. But first of all, he wanted to see his Lord. But he'll have all of eternity to do that, won't he?
He sure will. And the blessing to us is his music we have to keep, and it'll be around for a long, long time.
Amen. Well, let's get into the message tonight, and you know what the title was?
Paid in Full or Paid to Fool.
Right. And
I'm going to be careful saying that's a little trickier than it sounds.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to start by reading an article out of the Trumpet newsletter, and it says the hopelessness crisis, and he quotes from Jeremiah 18:12, and they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will, everyone, do the imagination of his evil heart. Why so gloom, America? On March 4th, 2024, Fortune magazine published an article with a bleak declaration: the United States of America is suffering from hopelessness crisis. Now, as we go through here, note when this hopelessness crisis started. The report cites a study from Pew Research, which found that two-thirds of Americans believe America will become economically weaker, less important in the world, and more politically divided. And by the year 2050, it also noted that a Wall Street Journal survey found that nearly 80% of Americans do not expect life for their children's generation to be better than it has been for their own generation. The American people are stressed out, anxious, and worried about the future. Consequently, more people than ever before are suffering from mental health issues. In May 2023, Gallup reported that 17.8% of adults in the United States are suffering from clinical depression, and 29% of adults have suffered from clinical depression at some point in their lives. Another study released in February 2024 found that 1 in 5 adolescents suffer from depression or anxiety due to the prevalence of clinical depression and other mental health concerns. The use of antidepressant medications has skyrocketed, increasing 64% since 2020. Among teens and adults aged 25 and under. According to the latest iteration of the World Happiness Report, the population of the United States is growing increasingly unhappy. While the report from 2023 ranked the U.S. as the 15th happiest country in the world, it recently released the 2024 report and ranked the United States as only the 23rd now happiest country in the world. The study found that young people in America are especially downcast among those aged 30 and under. The United States is rated as the 62nd happiest country in the world in comparing generations born before 1965 are on average happier than those born since 1980. Among millennials, evaluation of one's own life drops with each year of age. Well, among boomers, life satisfaction increases with age, the report states. There is no question that the population at large is being demoralized. Why is this happening? In the issue of The Last Trumpet, we will examine some of the factors contributing to the crisis of helplessness and hopelessness. One news article after the other is proclaiming that the American dream is dead or dying. On August 17, 2023, Newsweek declared, "The American dream is dead for us working class Americans." A few months later, Axios reported, "Americans think that the American dream is dying." More recently, The Guardian reported on March 12, 2024, that the majority of renters in the United States say they do not think they will ever be able to own a home. The Guardian piece cites a study conducted by the Harris Poll, which found that 57% of respondents said the American dream of owning a home is dead. 62% of respondents said my area has become so unaffordable, it's barely livable. And 65% said my mortgage in the number one reason I can't financially get ahead. Libby Rodney, who's a chief strategist officer at Harris Poll, was quoted as saying, "When you think that Maslow's hierarchy of needs and housing is right at the foundational level of security, the implications on consumer psyche when things feel so unaffordable is something that will impact everyone. Indeed, a roof over our heads is one of the most basic necessities of life, yet it is a need that has become very difficult to fulfill in the post-pandemic inflation-driven world. In fact, the cost of housing has gotten so outrageous in New York City that a real estate agent recently offered a 115-square-foot apartment." That's about the size of a king-size bed.
Okay? Wow.
For a rent in Manhattan, this tiny room, which has no bathroom and barely enough room for the bed, was offered for $1,200 a month. Did you hear that, Joe? 115 square foot.
Yeah, well, I saw that story. I thought, where do they go to the bathroom? Do they have to go clear downstairs in the building or something? That was just unbelievable.
And illegals are living tax on taxpayer dollars in luxury hotels.
Yep. According to the New York Times, one quarter of renters in the United States spend more than half of their income on housing. To make matters worse, a growing number of the Americans cannot afford housing at all. PBS News, however, reported that homelessness has risen 12% since January 2022. It has reached the highest level ever. It goes on to talk about...
But, Pastor Ernie, Bidenomics is working. It's doing exactly what they intended it to do. Destroy the country. Break down the system, right?
Exactly. And here, you know, I mean, it's got to get harder and harder for the fake news media to keep lying to the people, you know?
Yeah, when they can't afford to rent a place to live, maybe they might stop and think something they've been lied to, huh?
Yeah, when that is happening to more and more. Joe, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 18. Let's read a few verses at a time. So why don't you read verses 1 through 4?
The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, and another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it."
All right, so here now, in that time, was pottery, was it a main source of the economy?
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
It was very important. It held your water, your food, you know, all kinds of things, your oil. It was necessary for, you know, life, really.
And so in verse 4, when he said, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred, that means ruined. It was ruined,
right.
Okay, in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Let me ask you this. Is the United States of America right now in Israel, are they running side by side in rebellion against God? I mean, it's you know, they're unbelievable how their rebellion is.
It's one of the few ways we're alike.
Right. Okay. So here now, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and destroy it. Now, this warning that he gives, what is the purpose of the Bible? Why do we have this Bible right here?
To tell us the will of God.
To tell us the will of God. He's showing us something.
And to give us knowledge and wisdom, and sometimes that showing what happened in the past can happen in the future.
Well,
and it will.
Is the main theme through there that God is immutable? He does things the same today, tomorrow, forever.
Right.
He does not change,
so what he did before, he will do again. What he said before will be true in the future.
And this is where we have hope, because most Americans don't support these wicked policies. It's just we've allowed the cultural Marxist leftist to gain access of power.
Well, most of the Americans are la-la landers. They're clueless. They know things are wrong. Most Americans are thinking that nowadays most Americans are concerned about putting food on the table. But what happens is when they prosper, when a nation prospers, and this, they forget their God.
Yep.
They forget their God. And that's what happened here.
That happened in Europe. We saw Europe forget God, and what happened now, less than 2% of all Europe is fundamental Christian. Churches have turned into places for people, to tourists, to visit, to look at the architecture, to look at the old record books, to look at the artwork and the stained glass, and they even have tours and things, so they're no longer churches. So we can see, we've got a clear example just across the pond, what happens when a nation forgets God.
If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. Okay, so now this is a warning that's for us here today, too. He's showing us how he works.
Mm-hmm.
And at what instant I shall speak.
He gives a chance for repentance. He gives everybody, he gives individuals a chance, he gives families a chance, and he gives nations a chance to repent and turn, right?
Yeah. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plan it, if it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them.
Ouch.
Okay, so again, he goes on to say, now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you, and a device against you. Return now, every one, from his evil ways, and make your ways and your doings good. And here's what they say. And they said, there is no hope, but we walk after our own devices, and we will everyone to the imagination of his evil heart. So what is he, when he says there is no hope, what is he saying? He's referring to there? He's saying there's no God.
Yeah.
There's no God.
The people, they're saying there's no God, and we're going to continue to do what our heart directs us to do. But I don't think people necessarily in the imagination of their evil heart. That's his description of what's going on. I think right now a lot of people don't realize their hearts are evil in this country. They've just ignored God. They don't believe in heaven or hell anymore. And they, you know, live life and take all you can and make all the money you can, buy all the toys and the things. And like some of the young people, do all the traveling, live, spend everything you've got, you know. They're not looking forward to a future like a Christian. We have an eternity to look forward to. They have nothing.
I know, and they don't. And this is why, you know, we've got to the point where, you know, in Hosea 4:6 it says, because you have forgotten your God, I will forget your children. And we're at a point in our children where they're dying. They're dying from fentanyl, I mean, in huge numbers.
And suicide, and their drug overdoses, and the emotional distress. So many of them are sick because the world's being destroyed, and the other half are living in fear of the gang violence in the neighborhood. I mean, our children are suffering now, I think, more than they have since probably clear back during the Civil War. They might have even been safer, healthier, and safer then.
Right. You know, and there's another thing, too, today, in many places where the word hope is used, it's not like the way we, you know, often we use that word hope. It's not, we don't use it in a way that it's a sure thing. It's something that we hope that it might be. But many places where it's used hope, the blessed hope, is actually assurance.
Right,
it means
our
assurance.
Through our faith is our assurance, but to them, hope is a kind of a dream, wishful thinking.
Right. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ask you now among the heathen, who hath heard such a thing, the virgin of Israel hath done a horrible thing.
Okay.
Now, the Israel was referred to as the wife of God, the wife
right.
of God. And she was supposed to be a chaste wife, but she wasn't, okay? She went from being the virgin of Israel to Hosea here. She's referred to as a whore.
Whore, yeah. She turned to whoredom.
Yeah.
They were doing horrible things. Ezekiel talks about, wasn't there like the sun god worship?
Oh, yeah. They worshipped, offered their children to, like they do today in America. This is why the death culture, the Democratic Communist Party, their God is death. Death. They
and
want
perversion.
Right. Their number one issue is killing children. And you had this wicked Kamala Harris, a wicked, wicked, unclean woman, was out just beating the bushes for abortion, more abortion, more abortion. We need more killing. We need to be able to offer up our babies. These are
shout
wicked.
Shout your abortions. Get out there with shout your, be proud of your abortions. Proud that you shed innocent blood. Proud that you murdered a child in the image of God. Oh, they forget to add that part, but they're all excited, like shout your abortions, like it's something to be proud of, taking a life.
He tells them over there in Jeremiah chapter 2, he says that their skirts are filled with the blood of the innocent, and they try to defend themselves, and they say, well, listen, we haven't done anything wrong. What we did was allowed. It was legal, okay? That's not what God says, is it? You killed,
no.
That's murder. It's murder.
Yeah.
God hates the shedding of innocent blood.
So he goes on to say,
but can I add to that? He's talking there in Jeremiah 2, also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these. In other words, that blood of the innocents wasn't in a secret search. It's obvious. He can see the blood.
They condemned themselves with their own mouths, like Kamala Harris, like these feminists. They're condemning themselves with their own mouths.
Their own testimony.
Almighty God. Alrighty, we will be back right after this.
Well, there's people on the left and people on the right, and there's people that's in between. You better hope you're right when you leave this life and bow before the King of Kings. Bow before the King of Kings.
Some say I'm a little bit too far right when I write and sing my song, but on Judgment Day before God's throne, I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong.
Say no one murdered more than Hitler did. Most people would say that's true. But over 50 million babies that were never born might disagree with you. Yeah, they might disagree with you.
Some say I'm a little bit too far right when I write and sing my song, but on Judgment Day before God's throne, I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong. We got a right to feel the way we feel. We got a right stand. And I'm proud to say on my wedding day that my woman was not a man,
a great big ugly man.
Some say I'm a little bit too far right when I write and sing my song, but on Judgment Day before God's throne, I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong. Thank God I'm saved on Judgment Day. I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong.
Daddy had a sense of humor.
Amen to that song, though.
Yeah. He and I used to, you know, pull little tricks on each other. And we sang that song live, and I was standing there, and Daddy was on my one side, and Julie was on the other. And when they got to that part where he said, I'm glad my wife was a woman and not a great big ugly man, they both pointed at me. Yeah.
It was hilarious. So
yeah,
good.
It was. All right, very good. I got an announcement.
It's really true. If you look at it, the only time it's really going to matter is when you're before the throne. And there's only one place you want to be, on the right side of God.
Amen. Honor the blood.
I got an announcement to make here, and that is my good friend Peter Glidden is going to, he's got a something coming up, and that is going to be tomorrow. Wait, no, the 8th, Wednesday, May 8th. He is Attempt a Cure. It's going to be a free worldwide online event. He's going to be discussing a short history of medical evolution, the real reason chronic disease is increasing, cookbook medical research, the naturopathic healing method, diabetes, arthritis, heartburn, and hypertension, and so on. Now, You can tune in or sign in with him at www.leavebigpharmabehind.com. That's www.leavebigpharmabehind.com. And that's Wednesday, May 8th. And that's Central Time, 8 p.m. Central Time. And so, folks, tune in.
That's Wednesday.
That's this coming Wednesday, yep. And so, got another announcement to make because my good friend, Mrs. Wilson, is having a sale. And that's right, she's having a Mother's Day sale. It's 25% off. It's on right now, and it ends on the 12th. It goes from here now until the 12th, which would be what, Friday? No, the 12th would be Sunday, through now through Sunday. And so, again, that's Miss Wendy Wilson. And you can go up to www.thepowerherbs.com. That's www.thepowerherbs.com. Or you can call her at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. You can give her a call. And, you know, I didn't give Peter's number out, did I?
No.
Wendy's number one more time is 866-229-3663. And I didn't give Peter's number. Let me see if I can give him Peter. I got to go back and find his number. Okay. I know I had it just right here. Okay. Here it is. It's 630-849-0683. That's 630-849-0683. And that's to tune in. All right. We got that done, didn't we? And so,
well, I kind of have one announcement, if I may.
Okay.
If you were watching Fox News or looked on the Fox News website, you might not know, but today is the International Holocaust Remembrance Day. Way back when, the United Nations General Assembly had designated the 27th day of July as International Holocaust Remembrance Day to remember the 6 million Jewish victims of the Holocaust and millions of other victims of the Nazi communist persecution. You got to remember the Nazis were the socialist working class, you know, the socialists, and communism is nothing but socialism in a hurry. So we know they're both of the same. And the interesting thing was, with all that's going on, all the anti-Semitism, all the violence at colleges and universities across the nations, the riots, the taking over of campuses, all of the hired protesters, all the Marxists running loose in this country, the mainstream news just didn't think it was important to bring about the Holocaust. Socialism, communism, when they attack, they have to have a victim. They have to have a target, whether it be white males, whether it be the rich, whatever it is, they have to have something to take out their anger against. Capitalism, there always has to be the boogeyman, the straw man. And that's why it's so important for all of us to remember this day, what happened. Unfortunately, most of our young students in colleges and universities have no idea what happened then, how it happened, and most of them don't believe that it actually ever did, Pastor Ernie.
It's because of revisionist history. It's revisionist history, Joe. They don't have the textbooks that we had. They don't have, you know.
It doesn't fit the anti-Semite propaganda narrative.
Right.
No. Well, but again, it's not just the anti-Semitism. There always has to be that enemy to attack, whether capitalism, white men, you name it. There has to be something to cause hatred, anger, to bring out the emotion, because they always use the emotion of the young people. There has to be something for them to feel, you know, the haves, the have-nots. They're going to fight for, you know, the rights of the working class, the poor people. So there's always the issue is never the issue. The issue is always the revolution, right?
Right, and that's under communism, but when it came to the curriculum here, you know, the Saudis and the Arabs, the wealthy Arabs, had spent millions and millions of dollars buying the publishing companies that published the books that it's used in the public school system. This is why homeschooling is so important. This is why for 50 years we've been telling folks, please, if you love your kids, get them out of the public schools. They're starting to figure out now that what we've been trying to tell them all of those years now, that's one of the good effects of COVID. They parents started finding out what their children were really being taught in the public school system.
And that was one good thing about COVID.
Realized what they weren't being taught also, right?
Absolutely. Anyhow, it was all a setup. Newly unsealed docs reveal that Jack Smith's top prosecutor met with top Biden aide before any classified docs were found in Mar-a-Lago. Is there any of us that didn't know that Biden was behind all of this, okay? I mean, he said, I heard him in a speech say, I am going to stop Trump from running. I heard him say it.
Right.
So here, newly unsealed documents in Jack Smith's classified document case against the legitimate president of the United States, Donald Trump, prove Biden's DOJ set up Trump. The unsealed motion reveals Jack Smith's top prosecutor, Jay Bratt, met with a top Biden aide on September 2021 before they classified documents were discovered at Mar-a-Lago. Bratt met with all the aides to Biden's White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain in September 2021. Remember when Trump's lawyers went over there when they told you that these documents were there? By the way, in these cases that they're having, these trials there, what has come out when they brought in Trump's team brought in some of their people, their witnesses, they testified that Trump never even saw these. They were the ones, the people that were working for Trump, okay, packed up all the documents. The Trump never packed it, that they packed up the documents. Of course, this was being set up here. Let me go on. Brett met with an aide to Biden's White House Chief of Staff, Ron Klain, in September 2021. Julie Kelly, Jay Bratt, who led investigation into classified docs when moved to Jack Smith's team after he was appointed, met with aide to White House Chief of Staff, Ron Klain, in September. First of all, Jack Smith was never legally appointed as a special prosecutor. Mm-hmm. That had to be approved by Congress, and it never was. The entire Justice Department is completely and totally corrupt. And by the way, they're going after, they want to bring in Merrick Garland. By the way, Merrick Garland would be very, very hard pressed to find someone as corrupt as himself to prosecute. Last week, Judge...
Isn't that the truth?
Now, listen to this, because here, finally, we have an actual real judge. Judge Eileen Cannon unsealed records in Jack Smith's classified docs case against Trump that revealed Biden's White House and DOJ were coordinating with National Archives General Counsel Gary Stern. So there you go. There's your conspiracy right there. The day before Jack Smith indicted Trump in the classified documents case last June, NARA's general counsel, Gary Stern, was at the Biden White House and met with Joe Obama Biden White House lawyer Richard Sauber. The NARA's general counsel, Gary Stern, was working with Biden's White House as DOJ as early as August 2021, 1 year before the Mar-a-Lago raid. Furthermore, according to unsealed documents, an unidentified witness told DOJ prosecutor Michael Thaker that the Trump administration ended the General Services Administration store 6 pallets of boxes in Virginia. They eventually contacted Trump's team and told them to come pick up the boxes. These were boxes that ended up having documents with classified markings on them. The boxes were dumped outside of D.C. and Virginia and then ended up at Mar-a-Lago. This was a total setup. Trump went after Jack Smith in a Truth Social post on Saturday night after bombshell documents revealed that Biden DOJ coordinated with the National Archives. There you go.
Well, there's another common denominator there, too. Remember Fannie Willis and, what's his name, her lover,
Nathan Wade.
Nathan Wade, yep.
There it is. They went to the White House. Everybody involved in any of these cases somehow managed to have a meeting at the White House with someone, and we never were told who, but with someone at least on Biden's staff. So that's what almost all these cases have in common, is a visit to the White House.
Now, rampant corruption.
Why would a case in a different state on a state issue have to go to talk to somebody in the White House? You know, I mean, there was no reason for any of these people to have gone to the White House unless they were being briefed, controlled, or given their marching orders, right?
Right, absolutely.
No.
I wonder if it's Hussein Obama.
Well, yeah, Hussein Obama is one behind. He's pulling Joe Obama's puppet strings. I mean, in fact, you know, he came out and told you what he was doing. I remember hearing him say, if I had my choice, because they talked about a third, they were laughing, and they talked about a third term. He said, I would work out of my basement, and I would have an earphone, and I would have given instructions. I would have someone out there, and I would be giving them instructions. That's exactly what he's doing with Joe Obama Biden.
Isn't he the only president that has a property like 2 miles from the White House after his presidency ended?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's really going on there?
What's going on there is he's there to do what he did. He
and all these appointees are from his administration.
The entire Biden cabinet. They're all former Obama administration people.
Yep, this is deep state. It's the anti-Christ, communist, anti-American, anti-God deep state.
You and I sat there during his administration week after week going, look what he's doing now. Look who he's... He takes perfectly a bureaucrat that was an expert in the field, replaced that person with a political operative, and he kept doing it through all the departments of government. He wanted to arm the... give guns and licenses to what people in the Department of Education, the IRS, we went down the list. It was almost a weekly, look what he's doing now, boys. And there was the deep state, the creation, the building, and he got it completed. They said he was a very kind of a do-nothing president, but he overhauled the entire government, didn't he?
Yeah, that's, and you know what? Remember that, okay, because... Bill O'Reilly, remember when O'Reilly was out there saying Obama is not a bad person, he's just incompetent. And I'm saying, O'Reilly, you've lost your mind. The guy is, he's an antichrist, and what he's destroying America. You open your eyes and look. And
look at who he surrounded himself with.
And then O'Reilly said this. This was really, he said, I believe that Obama is a Christian because he said he was. Okay, this is an amazing thing.
Didn't they have to cover the crosses at Notre Dame when he visited?
Yeah, Joe and I were there.
Yeah, we were there.
We were there at Notre Dame.
The actual priests and people that were inside that, you know, knew that they had to cover things. I mean,
well,
we
watched them cover them. They put the big blankets over them. And the real Catholic bishops, you know, they were beside themselves, but the whole university is run by apostates.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he surround himself with sodomites, radical communists, the Muslim Brotherhood in many years of, or the majority of his political career?
Yeah, Obama is a sodomite. Okay, so he was set up.
We talked about who his real father was, and he wasn't a very let's put it this way, wasn't a very nice person, shall we say.
No. All righty. Very good. Now, you got a good article there, Aaron, because, see, what's happening right now, I've heard some of the pundits out there, and they were saying the Democrats should be a lot more worried than they are, a lot more worried than they are, and because all of the polls show that they're going down. Okay, but the problem is, remember the supposed red wave that we were going to see? We were going to pick up all them seats in the House and Congress and the Senate. But the Democrats, they knew that they had election fraud. They were going to They had the machines rigged. They had
mail-in ballots to the millionth
post. Yeah, just absolute total, because they're absolute corrupt people. Well, this is what they're getting. They're getting. They've got a real system set up now.
The article is by Joe Hoft. It's "The Left's Election Industrial Complex Discovered and Defined." There is a battle taking place in America today. It's the left's election industrial complex versus fair and transparent U.S. elections. While conservatives argue over whether we should vote early or on election day, the election industrial complex is adding, deleting, and managing entities that are clandestinely operating behind U.S. elections. A document produced by Higher Ground Labs entitled "The 2022 Political Tech Landscape Report" outlines what we have labeled the election industrial complex. This document begins with an introduction and summary of the results of the 2022 election using the left's bastardization of the word democracy and projection of their communist actions upon those who want fair and transparent elections. Voter suppression and 2020 election deniers presented onerous challenges in 2022 with active efforts to attack vote by mail, close polling places, harass nonpartisan election administrators, and spread misinformation in Arizona, Georgia, Florida, and beyond. Technology is playing an increasingly important role in supporting coordinated responses to attacks on democracy, from refining message development to enhancing on-the-ground organization to informing and protecting voters. The corruption in the 2022 Arizona election process, for example, where tens of thousands of voters were disenfranchised, was obviously ignored in this document, while claiming the election was an affirmation of the Biden administration's focus as well as a rejection of far-right extremism. A review of Higher Ground Labs' website shows the leadership team to include many left actors, including Derek Farnham, former deputy chief Hillary for America, Deval Patrick, former governor of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, Michael Podhorzer, political director, Julius Genachowski, former FCC chairman and managing director at Carlisle, Genachowski and Obama's FCC chairman in his first term. Genachowski's connections with Higher Ground Labs indicates that his effort may have started during the Obama administration, although Higher Ground Labs indicates it was launched after the Obama's regime ended. Since 2017, Higher Ground Labs has built an enduring platform for technological experimentation and iteration. We have invested in dozens of companies, many of which have become integral components of political tech for the left. In 2020 alone, our companies reached 7,500 campaigns and 70 million voters. And this effort started during the Obama years. It was likely paid for using government funds during the Obama years, and then it was moved to the nonprofit arena after 2016. Higher Ground Labs claims its mission is as follows. Higher Ground Labs is a startup accelerator and venture fund. We support startups building technology that helps candidates win. Higher Ground Labs created and published its 2022 report that describes its landscape and connections in the election industrial complex. This document outlines the many initiatives, connections, and activities it is involved in, and the players it interacts with to ensure radical far left and increasingly communist anti-American Democrats win elections.
All right, very good. There you go. Go ahead. Well, again, every day we turn up more and more evidence of the election fraud, and more people are coming forward. I don't know how many people I've heard say that they sat there. We all sat there. We watched them flip the numbers right in front of us.
Yeah, they just mysteriously stopped counting.
Yeah, and so it was like, we don't even have to try that hard to fool these people, right? Anyhow, so they're getting rigged up. Now, there are a lot more organizations that are monitoring this now. But folks out there, you have to expect this. Listen, believe me, it's very, very important that you vote and that you bring other people, people that need a ride, because the Communist Party, they are completely corrupt. They're completely corrupt. Here, we just had something happen in Ohio where we have, again, the Blue 22, Rhino 22. These were Democrats that ran as Republicans, and they sent out notices to all the Democrats. Listen, vote for them, you know, because they really are Democrats. So they understood. So here they had Republicans and Democrats voting for him, because a lot of the Republicans, you know, they just saw an R behind their name and thought, well, they got the most amount of signs out there. And so they voted for him. And we warned people. We said, listen, we told them and told them and told them what they were doing.
Research who to vote for, and we got to close those this primary. Representative Jennifer Gross has a bill called House Bill 210 that's trying to close our primary so that the Democrats can't cross over.
Yeah, so we have to get a hold of her on the air, put her on the air here. And so also, we're going to be going to, I know, folks, you've heard about the Great One, and a lot of people think that's Pastor Joe, but actually they're talking about Mark Levin, okay? And so, anyhow, Mark Levin, he didn't forget something. And we all knew this, too, how Biden was so, you know, I wish that we could see the visual on this, the clip we're going to play, because you see Biden, you see all these Ku Klux Klan people there, and Biden was as thick as thieves with the Ku Klux Klan, and all of a sudden they told Joe, listen, you're going to have to change up now, Joe. You have to sell your very soul, Joe. You got to sell your very soul, and we're going to, well, you can be president, and that's what he did. I mean, the corruption, the whole Biden crime family.
When did the Ku Klux Klan lose its status as far as, like, being a prominent political affiliate?
They were pretty much taken over by the Communist Party.
They were always Democrats, right?
Yeah, the Ku Klux Klan actually started the Democratic Party, okay?
They had some kind of showing at the White House of a movie. It was black and white. Do you remember that? It's like probably the 1920s, maybe late teens. Was it Wilson? Woodrow Wilson?
No, it wasn't Woodrow Wilson. It goes back. Actually, it goes all the way back to the Civil War. Okay, this is where it really started. Okay, so anyhow, we're coming up to a break. And when we come back from the break, I'll introduce the clip we're about to play. And folks, you'll never hear this played on public radio, or you won't hear this played on Fox News either. But anyhow, we're coming up to the break. We're gonna have a count here in a minute, right? So we'll have Ken once. See? Go say 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.